The Willamette Radio Workshop.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Willamette Radio Workshop's annual Halloween offering on stage and studio with D'May Roberts. This year, we follow our award-winning Murder of Crows with another pair of originals. Two Tales of Terror is our catchy working title, and our first offering will take you back to a time when the people understood the land, and vice versa, as it turns out. Join us for William S. Gregory's The Wind That Shakes the Corn. The wind blows through time, through space, over the landscape of memory. It's the middle of the previous century, in the autumn of the year. The landscape of gentle hills rolls into the distance, covered with rustling fields of corn. Dark oak trees, their leaves brilliant orange in the golden autumn light, stand beside white frame houses nestled in the cornfields. The sky and roads are a light gray, which fades to white in the distance. Down the roadside come two children making the long trek home from the rural school bus stop.
One witch, two witch, three witch, a dozen, four witch, five witch, all of them cousins.
Oh, we shouldn't say that anymore.
Why not? It's Halloween.
But it's about Miss Rachel, and that's her house there.
That Miss Rachel?
A long time ago, when her pa died, her cousins came to live with her, and all the ladies lived on the place for years and years, and now Miss Rachel's the only one left.
She's a witch? She can't be. She was always so nice. When Trigger got in that fight, she gave me some stuff that made his pa feel better so fast that even the vet was wowed.
Of course she's not a witch. She's a good neighbor, but we'd better leave off till we pass her place.
She's on the porch. Hi, Miss Rachel.
Hello, Eddie. Hello, Holly.
Afternoon, Miss Rachel.
It's a beautiful day.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, remember to come by to get the apple cider for the party tonight.
Yes, ma'am. She's got the best cider around.
See you kids tonight.
Goodbye, Miss Rachel.
Bye, Miss Rachel.
And along the road they go, their imaginations filled with the taste of golden cider, like the sweetness of autumn in a glass. Up at the crisp white railing of the old farmhouse porch, Miss Rachel watches the children run along the road, two colorful leaves in the bright fall sunlight. Miss Rachel's eyes have seen many falls, and many leaves, and many children. In her memory, they swirl together against the backdrop of the dry cornfields. Miss Rachel's gray eyes have seen many falls and many leaves and many children. As she steps into the well-swept hall of her house, the cathedral radio in the front room breaks off its soft melody and begins to mutter in sibilant bursts.
We interrupt this program. This important news flash at 11 a.m. There is a bank robbery which is foiled. Three fugitives who are armed and extremely dangerous. We now return you to our afternoon music.
Miss Rachel touches her spider-soft hand to the brown console, and the music resumes. But a frown, quick as the flash of a crow's wing, passes over her brow and the corn around the house rattles. Evening fills the valleys on the last day of the old month. The golden light turns amber as the shadows stretch. The birds and the few remaining insects grow quiet, as though caught in its stillness. In the tall kitchen at the back of the house, Miss Rachel prepares her dinner. A single chop rests on a small tin pan, and a pot of greens simmers on the white enamel stove. On the wooden table in the center of the room, two glass jugs of cider catch the last glow of the fading light in their smooth depths. A shadow slaps against the screen door. A thick hand grabs the handle, and a large man steps into the kitchen.
Oh!
you alone.
I live here.
Husband? Son?
No.
Give me some food.
I don't think I know you.
I said...
I heard what you said.
Then do it. I'm hungry.
I've got some scraps.
Give me that, on the stove. What you're eating.
Suit yourself. It's bland food for a big man like you.
Don't talk so much. Not out there.
But the dining room is...
I'll eat in the kitchen. I don't like the road.
No one comes by.
Bad luck for you.
You came through the corn.
What?
You didn't come up the road.
So?
Over the fields, from the highway.
So what? Give me the food!
Silent, Miss Rachel serves the meat and greens. The man eats with a voracious appetite. He glances from time to time out the window or the screen door at the fading light on the cornfields. Miss Rachel imagines. She imagines the battered car squealing through the dusty October streets of town and out onto the highway. She imagines a fight in the car, the shoving, the tumble of a body flying out the car door and landing at the side of the highway. She imagines the flight into the cornfield, the clattering of the stalks.
They left you.
What?
They threw you out. Were you making trouble? Did you start shooting?
Shut up!
Miss Rachel sees the bulge of the gun in his clothes. She smells the gritty oil lubricating the cylinder.
You did start shooting. At the bank. You didn't care.
You talk too much.
Miss Rachel looks out the window above the farmhouse sink. The last light slips away and the pane of glass becomes a rectangle of ebony blackness. In the swirling depths, Miss Rachel sees.
All right, hands up! This is a sticker! Nobody moves!
Take it easy, take it easy. Hiya, kid. Don't be scared. We're doing our trick-or-treating a little early. Just give us the money and everything will be fine.
Yes, sir.
That's a good girl. Put it in the sack. You're not scared, are you?
No, sir.
Good, because everything's going to be Jake. How old are you, kid? 20?
17, sir.
This your first job?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're doing great.
Don't move, you people.
Easy there. Keep calm.
Just don't try anything or you're dead. You hear me? Dead. Shut up!
Don't mind him. Just keep putting the bundles in the bag and we'll be out of here.
Yes, sir.
What the hell's going on here?
Trace is the cop!
What the hell are you doing? He's just a guard! Come on, we gotta get out of here!
Give me a bag, you bitch!
Oh, my God! You shot the kid!
Come on, let's get out of here!
I don't... What's happening? My dress is wet. My dress is wet.
So, that's how it was.
It's good grub, even if you do talk too much.
And Otto threw you out of the car.
Harold, a chump. He's scared. He ain't ready for the big time. Hey, how'd you know about Otto?
Each past has a smell. Yours stinks.
I don't like you talking that way.
No, I don't suppose you do. Ben Teller.
How'd you know my name?
From the stench.
Hey, what's going on around here? Get away from those knives.
I don't need a knife, Ben Teller.
Yeah, you better not have a gun hid someplace.
I don't need a gun, Ben Teller.
Miss Rachel stands at the screen door looking out above the high hill of the cornfield behind the house. A sound comes down off the hill, down from the sky, down from the reaches of time itself.
What's that?
the wind.
Like the distant sound of a train buried deep in the bowels of a mountain tunnel, the sound comes to Ben Teller's ears.
What do you mean, the wind?
The wind that shakes the corn.
Like the sound of the ocean heard miles inland before it can be seen, the sound speaks of a gigantic force.
Are you doing that?
I called, but it comes for you.
What do you mean for me?
Like a black river moving through the midnight countryside, the wind pushes forward.
For what you did to Mona.
On the edge of the field, on the other side of the hill, the corn stalks begin to shift and chatter.
Who the hell is Mona?
The girl.
What girl?
The noise of the wind runs up the distant side of the hill. The stalks clatter like hollow bones.
What girl?
The girl at the bank.
The wind crests over the hill, high above the house. The corn stalks shake, almost marching forward in the night.
It was...
You killed her.
The wind crashes down the hill and plows through the field like a boat cutting through still water. The stalks bend in its spreading wake.
This is crazy!
Teller backs away from the open door. The hairs on his neck rise. The skin tingles with dread.
I'm getting the hell out of here!
The great wind hits the back of the house like an invisible wave. It boils up the back steps, over the porch, through the screen door, across the kitchen and into the hall. All around the house, the cornfields thrash in manic glee. The wind catches him in the darkened hall.
No! God, no! No! No!
Rachel stands alone in the October night. The corn stalks shudder and still. The moon shines down on two small figures crunching up the pale gravel road to Miss Rachel's house.
My costume's better.
Well, ugh, who'd want to be a stinky old pirate?
Better than a prissy princess.
Is not.
Is so.
Why? Just look at the two of you. Don't you look fierce?
Egg.
And don't you look beautiful?
Thank you, Miss Rachel.
You're here for the cider, aren't you? It's back on the kitchen table.
I'll get it.
Careful now. They're heavy.
The pirate pads down the hall and returns with a jug of golden cider under each arm.
Oof.
Here, give me one.
No, I've got it.
The princess takes one of the jugs to the pirate's secret relief.
Have a nice time at the party. Happy Halloween.
Thank you, Miss Rachel. Oh, and I like your new scarecrow out in the field. He's really creepy.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah, but aren't his clothes kind of city-fied?
Oh, don't worry about that. The wind will take care of it.
So blood for blood, without remorse, I've taken in the glen. I've placed my true love's clayful corpse. I join true Irishmen. But around her grave I wander drear, sometimes in early morn. And with breaking heart sometimes I hear the wind that shakes the corn.